from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. A single-family home with a yard and two-car garage may be the American dream. But with real estate at a premium and traffic congestion getting worse, there is a new urban way of living that is becoming increasingly popular in California. Rory Gallagher reports on the rise of the transit village and just why the trend has taken so long.
Steve McFarlane and his wife, Dylan Hendricks, live in a rented two-bedroom loft next to the Fruitvale BART station in Oakland. Sitting at his dining room table, McFarlane can see the BART stop from his window.
I don't really like the idea of burning gallons and gallons of gas to go to work every day if I have the option to use public transportation.
Other than driving to the grocery store or dry cleaners, Hendricks says she and her husband have hardly used the car since they moved here from their Chicago apartment 3 years ago.
We go to the optometrist here in the building. We use the library all the time. The restaurants, mostly the coffee shop we use pretty regularly.
The Spanish-style Fruitvale Village was part of an effort to revitalize this working-class neighborhood. The 47 units are more affordable than a lot of urban lofts, roughly $1,400 for a two-bedroom. Like other so-called transit villages in places like Europe and Portland, Oregon, that cluster housing near train stations, Fruitvale Village brings together transit and pedestrian-oriented stores and services. It only takes the couple about 2 minutes to walk to BART for their morning commute.
The doors are closing. Please stand clear of the doors.
As much as they seem to like their Oakland housing, McFarlane and Hendricks have purchased a single-family home in Alameda with a private yard that can accommodate a new puppy. Transit villages are not for everyone. And residents of established suburban neighborhoods sometimes have their own objections to new development. What was once the Bay Meadows racetrack in San Mateo is now a huge pile of debris, making way for a 1,200-unit housing complex with retail and office space. The large-scale proposal, which is being designed as a transit village, has drawn criticism from some neighbors.
One of the concerns is whether the infrastructure is going to be able to handle that single car behind the wheel kind of situation.
Although the development is being built next to a Caltrain stop, local resident and former planning commissioner Karen Harrell realizes not every new resident will be using mass transit. She's worried about the impact increased traffic will have on local streets.
And when you're talking about adding maybe 6,000 or 7,000 people to an area, which would be comparable to the Bay Meadows area, that's a lot of traffic, that's a lot of cars, that's a lot of carbon footprint.
A series of public hearings were held, but eventually the city of San Mateo approved the development project at Bay Meadows.
It is not practical to say the city of San Mateo is going to shut its doors and we will not be able to accommodate any growth.
Ron Munakawa is San Mateo's chief of planning.
Well, the idea is, if growth is to occur, where can we do it with the least amount of impact on the existing community? How can we do that and try and foster greater efficiencies in our transportation patterns and greater efficiencies in the use of a piece of land?
The Association of Bay Area Governments projects that by the year 2035, nearly 2 million additional people will be living in the Bay Area. At the same time, California is aiming to cut greenhouse gas emissions down to 1990 levels by the year 2020. One way to help accomplish that is to get cars off the road. UC Berkeley professor of city and regional planning Elizabeth Deacon says studies show people who live in transit-oriented developments make fewer car trips.
Compared to auto-oriented suburban areas, the number of trips that are generated by motor vehicle are 30 to 40% lower.
5 years ago, California changed its zoning policies to make it easier to build mixed-use development. But just as transit villages were finally catching on, we hit the housing crisis. Plans for several transit villages are on hold throughout the state. Still, planning agencies are continuing to come up with ideas for transit-oriented development. A new state law passed last fall directs them to make environmentally responsible planning a priority and ties transportation funds to those plans. Deacon says the momentum is slowly building.
We've seen Los Angeles beginning to do some of this. We're seeing transit area development discussions in Central Valley cities, smaller cities, as well as the larger ones. So I think it's a trend in the state, and we'll see more of it.
Building transit-oriented development is just one piece of the puzzle. In order for transit villages to really get drivers off the road, they need to be connected to efficient, affordable mass transit. But many bus and rail systems in California are at or near ridership capacity, and because of the bad economy, are struggling with deficits as sales taxes and their other funding sources have declined. For Quest, I'm Rory Gallagher.
To see a map of transit villages throughout the state, go to kqed.org/quest.